Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Always a pleasure to be here and is welcoming the Fords who are here with us today. We stand before God's great throne, and He wants to know about our faith, and do we really trust Him? The topic I'm talking about today, we'll look at some enduring qualities, the quality that we must have in order to endure to the end. And a lack of, we saw through past history of ancient Israel, of how they failed when they came out of Egypt. God gave them plenty of time. They was under hard bondage there in Egypt before they came out. And He set a man over him. In Romans 1 and verse 16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. When the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Faith is that foundation of life for God's people. And so if you stop and you think about faith, what does it mean to live by faith? We've read it many a times in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith fills the gap or the void from the lack of vision, of evidence of what God promises. Ancient Israel walked out of Egypt, and they saw the miraculous signs, and they saw these signs in Egypt before they were let loose. But yet, there was a void in them as they trekked across the desert. Faith requires an unconditional confidence, a trust in God. Have we dedicated a study personally to ourselves about faith? About the dedication that we should have living in this spirit-torn world. The world can't see it, but we do, because God's Spirit is in us. And even in our inner bodies, there's a war that goes on every single day. There's winners and there's losers. But God gives us His strength that we win. But yet we fall short. Romans 4 and verse 21. Abraham was fully convinced that what he had promised, he also was able to perform. And we see in Genesis 15 and verse 1 through 6, it says, "Sometime later the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son?' since you've given me no children. Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir. And then the Lord said in verse 4, no, your servant will not be your heir. For you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. And then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, wouldn't that be an awesome sight? Even experience to have God speak to you. And you see all of the things that you don't have in this physical life. And nothing's too great for God. And he pointed him to the sky and says, count them if you can. These will be your descendants. But Abraham had to wait many years, even any evidence that God would perform what he had promised. However, he continued believing and trusting God. And we too often have to wait for God to provide what he has promised to us. Abraham was an old man. And we'll read the account there in Genesis. It's when those men who came to his tent, and Sarah laughed, and she was in her old age. He will give birth to a son. And he heard that laugh, I guess it astounded her, because the men heard her peering around the curtain. And so many years went by. But a lot of times in our lives, when trouble comes our way, do we consider it an opportunity? As you read in James 1, verse 2. What was Abraham thinking? Abram at that time, his name had not been changed. What was he thinking? Will this happen? Another day has gone by, another year has gone by. Faith. Faith is what he relied on. And do we put this in the same context of we want everything right now? We're so accustomed to taking that smartphone, not have to wait. You can call New York City in a flash, as long as it takes the phone to ring, and speak to someone on the other end. In those days of Abraham, news traveled slow. Men travel slow. But God says in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 15, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, and thirsty lambs, but there was no water. Who brought water to you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, but your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do good in the end. You see, that was a plan. That was a method to God's doings in those days. Manna After a few days, they were just crying to get rid of it. He said, this manna, as if it was a byword or a curse word. They were sick of it. They wanted flesh because they were thinking about those flesh pots in Egypt. Couldn't get it out of their minds about the leeks and the onions and how they had a life of bondage, but they forgot that. They were thinking about the flesh pots. And so what did God do? In his anger, he just filled the skies with birds and quail. And he said, you will eat it until it runs out of your nose. And they were pretty tired of it. And God says, enjoy. What does that say about their faith in God? So many times that they walked across that desert and they know what God can do. Mount Horeb, what do? They went there. God says, bring him up. I'm going to talk to him. The mountain was shaking and fire and flashing and they were running, standing behind Moses. You go speak for us. We cannot stand in front of the Almighty God and let him talk to us. But as they walked across that desert, and as we have read, they failed the test. They failed the test. And God says, your bodies will litter this desert, and you will not, because of your lack of faith, you will not cross the Jordan. And they didn't. They did not. But let us read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. God gives us time. Do we think about that today? About our faith and how we compare what we're doing, how we do it, when we do it, about how God gives us the time and the space to know him, to build our faith. And in verse 11 there in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. What is the lesson for us? What was the basis of Israel's failure? And we can see that in Exodus 14. As you can read here in verses 5 through 9, Pharaoh and his armies pursued Israel, chased them up to the Red Sea. Verse 10, the Israelites were afraid, very afraid. This is a great understanding of us in our human reaction. There stands for you a sea of water, and Pharaoh and his army behind you. That physical evidence told them they were trapped, doomed to die. But if you look at verses 11 and 12 of Exodus 14, Israel here accuses God and Moses of an ulterior motive, seeking to kill them. And we see in verse 13 of how God opened that Red Sea. And he walked through. Should that have done something for their faith? Their belief and their trust in God? Would that have moved them? That this is the real God. And we do see in Exodus 15 in verses 1 through 20, you will read how they sang praises to God. They sang praises. But their faith did not endure. Not even to the end of the chapter. In verses 23 through 25, Israel murmured against Moses. What were they talking about? Standing by their tents, whispering. When you look at Exodus 16, 1 through 4, again, Israel accuses Moses of killing them with hunger. What did they want? What did they want? Thinking about those flesh pots? So let's read here, Exodus 17 and verse 1. We'll read through verse 7. It says, at the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. They eventually camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? Why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continue to argue with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us? Here we go again. Same story. Are you trying to kill us, our children, our livestock, with thirst? And Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, walk in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you use when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on a rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out, and the people will be able to drink. And so Moses struck the rock, and he was told, and the water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named this place Massa, which means test. And Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? Hard words for Israel about their faith. And we get to walk through these scriptures, looking at how their failure, and we can go around that. And we cannot fail with these things in front of us. Will this be our lot? We don't have a desert to walk through, or a thirst for water, a food to holler for. But God has given us these things. But God wants to know. And when we are to become spirit beings, There will be no doubt in Jesus Christ's mind or God's about your character, about the things that drive you. There will be no murmuring. There will be no whispering. Why did God do this? And you stop and think back to when Korah came up to in his rebellion and the men who was with him. And God said, separate yourself, Moses, get away from these people, open the earth up, swallow them up. And the people around saw this about their faith. And yet, out of their mouths, they scream, God killed these people. God killed them. Now, over the course of time in the desert, God's working with them. He's doing things that's going to enhance them to know him better. But let's look at another failure here. Numbers 13. And we see how they react to visual and physical evidence of what God had done for them. They paid no attention to it, as if it didn't happen. And you see here in Numbers 14 in verse 1 through 4, they're making plans to go back to Egypt. They're making plans to return to Egypt. And when they had come to the borders of the land that God was going to give them, and when the 12 went into the land to spy it out, only two was worthy, because the rest were afraid. Caleb and Joshua trusted God, their faith. God says, look, this is your land. I'm giving it to you. And out of their mouths was the cities are walled. There are men, we see the descendants of Anak in there. Giants, big men. We cannot prevail. But they didn't listen to God. God said, yes, you can. And so those men died in the desert, and only two crossed over. Moses and Aaron. They did the will of God, but they had their little doings there too. I think Aaron was about 127 when he died. He went up the hill. Moses cried, wanting to go into the promised land. God says, no, enough, stop talking to me about it. Go up the hill. Look east, west, north, and south, and see the land, but you will not cross. And we see here in Hebrews 3 and verse 5, it says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, Don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. When they tested me in the wilderness, there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, God says. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, and I was angry with them. And I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. And so God said in verse 11, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, verse 12, brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. What more could they want? God answered all of their cries, and even those they didn't ask for. But yet they wanted more. And it proved that their faith was worthless. And God said here that they always turn away from me. This is for our admonition today. This is for us to see. This is our billboard about our lives and how we fit in the plan of God. Comfort one another with these words. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we first believed, we will share in all things that belong to Christ. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people of Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that he would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, that they were not able to enter his rest. Restless people. Not able to focus. Itching ears is what they call them today. They didn't trust God. They didn't trust Moses. And God put that man there to lead them. And what does it say about faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 6? Hebrews 11 verse 6, as it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Where was the evidence of the impending flood? Could anyone see the signs? Can you imagine the ridicule? Every day. They probably were picnicking every day. Sit there and laugh at them. Probably throwing apple cores at them. You know, you people are crazy. What are you doing? It's never going to rain. Because back then it didn't rain, because you had a mist that comes up at night that watered the earth. Could you endure that ridicule? Stop and think about it. Every day you get up, you look out your window, they're already there. They're waiting for you. You put your tool belt on and you go out to your work area. They're calling your names. They're speaking to you, distracting you from your work. Where do you fit in that picture? What's the mindset? What's your mindset? Run back in the house, put your tool belt away, and that's it. I give up. I'm not going to do it anymore, so you guys don't need to come down here and bother me every day now. I'm done. Matter of fact, what's done, I'll just go and cut that up for firewood. Would that be your mindset? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now you stop and think about that. Would you get in your car and drive anywhere? I don't care. Just pick a spot on the map. Better yet, we have navigation and GPS in our cars now. And so God says, you know what, I want you to go someplace, but don't worry about where you're going. When you get in the car, the navigation is already set. All you do, get in and punch the button, start driving. Well, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Would you do that? Would you can seriously think about that? You hear a voice. You don't know who it is. I want you to go here. But Abraham, he followed God's instructions. Packed up everything he had and left. At the age of 75. On the move, no explanation, no details. This is where I want you to go. Points west. And by faith, Sarah herself received the strength to conceive seed, bore a child. She was well past the age of childbearing because she judged him faithful. The one who made the promise. She trusted God to give her that child, despite the fact that she was well beyond the age of childbearing. And then out of all of this, here's your son you've waited for. You're an old man. You had to wait forever for him. Let's read it in Hebrews 11, verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. Here's the kicker right here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up God wanted to know if Abraham would give him Isaac. He wanted to know. Stop and think about your children, your firstborn. Would you trust God? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Without a trust in God, these blessings would simply be well wishes. God keeps his promises. And this is what we hang our hats on today, that God will keep his promise. That God will bring us through. Let's go back to Genesis 50, verse 22. Genesis 50, verse 22, and says, Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his fathers and his household, and Joseph lived 110 years. He saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children of Mashiah, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up bones from here. And so Joseph died, being 110. And he said to his brethren, I'm dying. But God will surely visit you before they left Egypt, bring you out of this land, which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will visit you, and you shall carry up my, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And when they left Egypt, they carried him with them. But did they believe it? Did they believe when Joseph said that they will be led out of this country? Was it a part of their mindset that it was spoken before? But believing and doing is two different things. You have to put that belief into action. Your faith, put it into action. We can talk and we can tell all we want, but we must do it, because God wants to know. He already knows what's in our hearts. He wants you to prove him wrong. He wants you to be truthful in your words, truthful in your prayers. When you tell him, I love you, I love your way of life, I don't want anything else. And you go back to those men who crossed over, the leaders of Israel. They believed and they trusted God. And God tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It's not like one of those Roman candles. You fire it and it's gone. God tells us you're in it for the long haul. We must believe this. We must do this in all of our actions. But things like lawlessness is abound, that you read in Matthew 24 and verse 12. And this lawlessness wants you to come and join them. When trouble comes to you, consider it an opportunity. Do we? No. No. We have trouble. We don't think about opportunity. We're thinking about, how am I going to get out of this? Run to the prayer closet. Slam that door. God Almighty, Father, the wolf is at the door. Do we think of opportunity when these troubles come? That's going to prove you and your character. It's going to play out one way or the other. Whether we accept this as an opportunity, or we will see it as a challenge. Which will it be? We should welcome trials and tests as opportunities to strengthen and stretch out our faith and trust in God. Because we will need a lot more faith and endurance as the end time approaches. You see the things going on around you now? This is just a warm-up. This is just a warm-up. Obey your spiritual leaders. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Do what they say. And this is from the New Living Translation. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. It will certainly not be for your benefit. And we'll look in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to the unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature as children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind that comes to us. New teachings. Hey, I have a paper for you to read. We have better knowledge over here. Itching ears. That we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, clever sounding truths. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is ahead of this body. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In conclusion, living by faith involves believing and trusting God and the leaders he has provided to see us through the trials and tests of our life and to protect us against the subtle strategies of Satan the devil. We all need God, and we need each other. Much can be accomplished by trusting God and our leaders and working together as a team. Our calling involves helping Christ rescue a dying world. This requires teamwork. Trusting God and our team captain, Jesus Christ, and also trusting those that they designate as leaders. This plus living our lives based on the laws and the promises of God is what it means to live by faith. And finally, the just shall live by faith, not only in this life, but for all eternity.